Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from everyday office etiquette, bullying, to handling pet peeves. Also, we remind you to initiate acts of kindness. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. And here is your host, communication and socialization expert, speaker, and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Well, good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I'm Miss Donna, and today is Sunday, October 16th, 2016, and we are broadcasting live from the lovely city of Atlanta. This evening, our special guest is Dr. Pam Theta. Please stay tuned. Well, welcome, new listeners and loyal listeners alike. Thank you so much for being a part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family. We are so delighted that you are spending part of your Sunday evening with us. Now, we know that we are blessed to have listeners of all ages, and we want to take just a moment to talk about the origin of etiquette. And of course, since the name of our show is a question, what is etiquette anyway, then we certainly want to answer that question. Etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette itself comes from a French word meaning ticket, and it later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. Kudos to Charles I and II. And if you don't necessarily remember the entire backstory, just simply remember that etiquette is a fancy word for manners. Well, once again, welcome to each of you. Last year, our guest that's coming up last year, she was a part of our back-to-school etiquette team. And although we technically concluded our series on last week, it just sort of dawned on me that we did not leave our listeners with products that they can use to enhance having a successful school year. And just in case you are just joining us for the first time, our last 4 weeks we had a back-to-school etiquette series. We had several different guests on that gave us a variety of tips to help ensure a successful school year. And so all of our shows are archived, and if you'd like, you can certainly go back and pull up our archived shows so you would have an opportunity to listen to them in its entirety. Well, without further ado, I would like to welcome back to the What is Etiquette show, Dr. Pam Theta. Pam, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Happy Sunday to you.
Well, same to you.
Thank you so much. So, Pam, for those who may be listening and they are not familiar with you, would you please just take just a moment to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Certainly. I have been a math educator for over 30 years now. I started out teaching in private Christian schools, and then I've taught at Decatur High School and Columbia High School in DeKalb County, teaching math. I later became an instructional coach. When I went to get my doctorate in mathematics education, I decided that I wanted to support teachers because teaching math is such a difficult job, and especially with so many demands that are made on schools now, that I really wanted to be able to support teachers in that role. So I became an instructional coach, and then I went to Fulton County Schools and became the director of secondary mathematics there at the district level. I was also the math coordinator for Atlanta Public Schools, K-12. And since then, I've worked at the county office for about 8 years now. I decided that things had so much changed that I felt like I could be a better support to teachers by becoming a teacher again. So actually, I'm back in the classroom, and I'm teaching math to freshmen at Southwest DeKalb High School. I have also started my own educational consulting company to help further support teachers and parents as well.
Wonderful. And by the way, listeners, our email, if you'd like to send us a message, it is etiquetteladies@gmail.com, etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Okay, so Pam, do you have a particular area that you would like to cover first? I want to make sure that we certainly do have an opportunity to, you know, for you to share the information that is really paramount for either the students or the teachers or the parents as well.
Absolutely, sure. Well, the first theory I have, I think it's really, really important for both teachers and students to know there's no such thing as a math gene and that there aren't people who aren't math people. Everyone can become a math person. You learn math just like you learn how to read, like you learn how to play basketball. It's something that is a skill that can be learned with focus and practice. So there is no such thing as a math gene, and anyone can learn to be good at mathematics. But that directly ties to a theory that was developed by Carol Dweck. She's a professor out at Stanford University. It's called growth mindset theory, and it says that people's success in anything pretty much has to do with their mindset. And there are people who believe that there's a fixed mindset, that you only have a certain amount of intelligence that you're born with, and that if you get to things that are challenging, it must mean that you're no longer smart. So people who have a fixed mindset then spend their time trying to look smart and be focused on hiding the fact that they don't know something because they think that means they're no longer smart. Whereas people who have a growth mindset really understand that a challenge just means that they need to put forth some more effort, and that it's not a sign that they're no longer smart, but it's just a sign that they either need to emphasize a new strategy or get some help or put forth more effort. And so the difference is, what do challenges do? When you meet a challenge, do you tend to think that that challenge says you're no longer smart because you have to work hard at it, or do you really dig in and say, okay, this is something that I'm really game for and I'm up to, and I'm going to put forth more effort to learn? And the reason why that mindset is so important is because math is the class that oftentimes students experience that first struggle. For the first time in school, they'll get to a place where things aren't easy and it becomes hard. And then when kids start with a fixed mindset, start to think, oh, because it's hard now, I must not be smart anymore, that becomes very detrimental because they engage in the exact opposite behaviors of what is needed to be able to overcome a challenge. They shut down, or they engage in avoidance behaviors, which make it even harder, and then they get further behind, and it really becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I think that is the most important thing that parents and students need to know. And especially for parents, parents need to understand that sometimes there are things that they can do that contribute to a fixed mindset that doesn't help students. For example, if kids bring home a good grade and you said, see, I know you got an A because you're so smart, then students think that if they bring home a B or C, that they're not smart anymore. So praising kids for being smart really does undermine the growth mindset. So it is best to praise students for effort or talk about the strategies that they used or how they worked hard getting an A or doing well, as opposed to just saying you got an A because you're smart.
Wow. That is great information, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thinking, oh, or they're having a second thought, oh, what do I say, you know, to my child when they come home with an A, or opposed to when they come home with a C? And if the child is thinking, well, I got a B on that exam, and I know I should have gotten an A, so I may not be as smart as I think I am. So that's really good information. That's great. I have an email, Pam. It says, "Etiquette Lady and Guest, please ask your guests which games or posters would be appropriate for second graders. I have twins. One enjoys math and the other does not. Thank you." This comes from Marge in Alpharetta.
Okay. Well, one of the things I've created posters called that support the standards for mathematical practice. And those are traits or characteristics of mathematically proficient students. And the wonderful thing about the Standards for Mathematical Practice is they are effective for kindergartners through 12th graders through college. It doesn't matter what age you are, you can engage in these behaviors. Now, of course, what it looks like for a kindergartner may be different for a college student, but it's the same practice. So, for example, one of the mathematical practices is that proficient students are able to construct viable arguments and critique the reasoning of others. So for a kindergartner, it might be something as simple as saying, "I think the answer is 2, because when I take one block here and I put it next to 2 blocks, when I count the blocks together, they're now 3 blocks." So they're just able to explain why they got their answer. That's what a kindergartner might do. Whereas an older student might be able to say specifically, you know, why they have an answer and explain the properties, or they might even be able to say, you know, "I think you made a mistake here in your reasoning because this does not support whatever property." It can be a lot more sophisticated. But it's important that students learn to engage in these practical behaviors from kindergarten to 12th grade, because once the math, once they're out of school and the tests are over, these practices and behaviors can carry with them. So they're things like make sense of problems and persevere in solving them. Or they're like use appropriate tools strategically, so that students need to know, what tool do I use at the appropriate time? Those are things that math proficient students do. So the posters that I've created that have the standards for mathematical practice can be for any age, kindergarten through college. Now, as far as games, when you're talking about young kids, it's important for them to understand that math is everywhere. And just like they see letters everywhere and books are everywhere and reading is everywhere, it's important for kids to see numbers and math are just everywhere as well, and it's natural. So there are counting games you can play. There are games that I used to play with my kids with base 10 blocks. Bingo is a good game where they're covering and identifying their numbers. Any games that use dice, board games where they have to use dice and recognize the numbers on the dice. Games like Yahtzee, games like dominoes. I remember my kids played lots of dominoes when they were small. Just as a family, any type of game that you can play where kids have to count and use numbers is really, really good. And you're helping your kids develop a number sense at a young age, and that will build the foundation for every other level of mathematics.
Wow, good information. And here's one that says, "I am an adult who is going back to school. I am nervous about math testing. What's the best way to calm my nerves?" This comes from Calvin R.
Being prepared. I really wish I could give you a magic bullet, But being prepared really is the best way to calm your nerves. I think oftentimes there is such a thing as test anxiety. But test anxiety oftentimes comes when you're afraid that the one thing that you didn't study is going to show up on your test. Or sometimes you think you've studied 90% of it, but there's just something, just one thing that you're not sure of. And then sometimes when you sit down for the test, you look at a problem, you're like, oh, no, is this the thing that I didn't study? And sometimes you don't recognize it when you see it. And even though you may know it, I have seen that oftentimes happen, that you really already know the material, but because there's this little small area that you say, oh, yeah, I don't really understand this yet, everything starts to look like that on your test. And next thing you know, you're overwhelmed and you're not even performing on the things that you do know how to do. So one of the study techniques that I've done to help me assess whether I'm really ready for a test or not is I create my own, like a practice test, create my own practice test and create problems that I think might be on the test. And then I work through my own test. It's like recreate the testing situation at home. And once I'm able to get a problem right two or three times in a row with no help, then I'm ready to do that type of problem. I have found that just being able to do a problem by looking at notes and or having assistance from a textbook is not the same as being able to perform it on a test. There's a gap. And I found that extra practice and doing it two and three times in a row helps. I also found that teaching someone else how to do the problem helps fill that gap. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was always really good in math, because I knew I wanted to be a teacher at a very young age, and I was always teaching my classmates. When I got done with my work, then I would go and explain it to other people, and I found that in the process of me explaining it to other people really helped me be better prepared and give me the confidence so that when I came into the test, I was really, really ready. I can't underestimate how important being confident and being confidently prepared helps overcome and test anxiety.
Okay, great. And in case you all are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Our special guest is Dr. Pam. Pam, is it Seda or Seda? Pronounce your last name,
Seda.
Please. Seda. Okay, Seda. I had it right. Okay, all right. And, of course, she's the owner of Seda Educational Consulting. Although our back-to-school series technically ended last week, once again, I kind of thought about it, dawned on me that usually we try to, in addition to giving information, we also want to be able to refer you to some products. And it looks as though people are certainly asking where can they get the products. And again, go ahead and tell them right now, if you would, Pam, how can they give them your contact web address or whatever you have?
Absolutely. So my products can be purchased on my website, and it can be accessed at pamseda.com, www.pamseda.com, pamseda.com. And when you go to that website, it will take you to my website, the Seda Educational Consulting website, and you'll just click on the tab that says online store, and then it'll take you to the online store, and you'll see the posters that are there, and you will see the math card games that are there. Now, because I've been teaching secondary for most of my educational career, for right now, most of my card games are geared towards middle and high school, just because what I have found is, for whatever reason, when kids get to middle school and high school, teachers don't necessarily take that extra effort to make sure it's fun and engaging for the kids. So there's not a whole lot out there for middle school and high school students, but I know they still need to be engaged, probably even more. So that's why I've decided to fill a need that I felt like there's just very little out there for middle school and high school kids. So that's why I started with middle school and high school. I will probably eventually start to develop some things for elementary as well, but right now I'm starting in the market where I feel like there's almost virtually nothing out there yet.
Great. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you signed up for the public speaking club yet?
Public speaking club? What's that?
It's the club Miss Riley teaches. You learn to speak comfortably in front of others, how to make introductions, how to introduce your parent to a friend, meetings, greetings. In fact, you learn numerous public speaking tips. Some of my favorite topics include impromptu speaking, how to have great posture and poise, and a lot more. And you learn how to have great social skills, all while gaining more self-esteem and confidence. It's so much fun.
As a parent, I know that academic skills coupled with social skills help make a child well-rounded. That's why I enrolled my children. They volunteer to speak at every opportunity. Their teachers brag on them all the time.
Wow. Well, I'm too short to raise my hand in class, and I hope the teacher doesn't call on me. I want to join this public speaking club. I'll ask my mom.
Say goodbye to being shy. Sign up today for the public speaking club at www.pagesetiquette.com. Once again, the website is www.pagesetiquette.com. Hurry, avoid the waiting list. This club fills up quickly. www.pagesetiquette.com.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Call us at 347-324-3295. Now, back to the show.
Okay, so, Pam, I'm going to go to another email. I want to make sure before we run out of time that we've had an opportunity to address all the emails as possible. It says, hello, Etiquette Lady. I really enjoyed the back-to-school series over the last few weeks. I told some of the parents at my school about it and suggested they tune in. Thanks for the excellent programming. This comes from Della Janice in Spokane, Washington. Thank you, Della, for that. We certainly enjoyed that series. Once again, if you are listening and you missed any part of that series, please go back to Blog Talk Radio / Etiquette Lady. And you can actually pull up all of the archive shows, and you can listen to all of them in its entirety. Here's one that says, Etiquette Lady, I really enjoy the topics you cover on your show. Can you give me the info that your guests referred to last week regarding school bathrooms? Our parents would like to make contact with them. Okay, that was Dr. Tom Keating with Project Clean. Dr. Tom Keating with Project Clean. He has been someone over the last 20 years has really addressed the issues with the bathrooms in the schools, trying to make sure that all the bathrooms are hygienic and are decent enough for the children to use. So, yes, you can go back, and in fact, you can go back and pull that show up as well. But his information, his name, Dr. Tom Keating, and that is Project Clean. Thank you so much for that email. Let's see. Pam, I know we had one student, well, one adult, it just said that she was going back to school and was a little nervous about going back to school with the math. I think what you've sort of shared, I think, is I think some of the barriers usually, you know, when it comes to math, because math is just something I think people either think they understand it or they don't. And right. I think you've kind of explained that it's not really as cut and as dry as that, right?
Right, absolutely.
And just, you know, being able to utilize practical ways, like with playing, you know, bingo, of course, and anytime you have to utilize games with money, actually, I think, you know, Monopoly, I know that's a good real estate game, but you also have to deal with money as well. You have to purchase and you have to know your investments and things of that nature as well, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking about how I used to play Gin Rummy when I was in elementary school. And to this day, I can easily count 15 times 1, 15 times 2, 15 times 3, 15 times 4, because I was counting up my aces when, you know, when I was trying to count my points for Gin Rummy, because aces were worth 15 points. So I was doing multiplication by 15 you know, all the time and playing gin rummy, and didn't even think twice about it because it was just part of what I did. And so that's something that sticks to me even now. Now, ask me to do 15 times 5, it's going to take me a little while. But 15 times 1, 2, 3, and 4, because we have 4 aces in a deck, I know those automatically because I played a lot of gin rummy coming up.
Interesting. And I'm sure, you know, there were some listeners probably thinking, gin rummy, isn't that like gambling or something like that? And she was doing this in elementary school, but you were showing how you were learning, you know, mathematical facts.
And exactly. But believe me, I was playing with my brother, so, you know, there was no gambling going on.
So we thought we would just clear that up for the listeners.
Yeah, I played lots of cards growing up, and I found that really did help give me a good number sense. And number sense is really the best foundation that you can, you know, the best gift that you can give to your young kids, for them to be able to think flexibly about numbers and be able to see numbers and break them apart and put them together in all different kinds of ways. And that really comes through experience. Even things like, I used to take my daughter when we would go to Walmart, and I knew she could do skip counting. She knew how to count by twos. So we would go to Walmart, and we'd see the little bubble gum on the counter. And so I would start counting, and I'd say, okay, how much is one piece of bubble gum? How much is two pieces of bubble gum? And then I start talking to her about, okay, that's multiplication. And so she actually, you know, she was barely able to talk, but I was teaching her the concept of multiplication in a real-life situation. Or I remember taking them to the grocery store, and I would have them put the produce, when I would measure the produce, like, you know, peaches is so much per pound, and I would say, okay, tell me, how many pounds of peaches do I have? And they would have to actually read the fraction. And so they would see that real-life example. Or I would give them a sales paper, and it said 3 for $4. And I'd say, okay, tell me, how much does that cost? So they would have to, you know, be able to see it's 4/3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's $1.33. So that they could do, I taught them how to do that in their heads. Other things, we would go to the grocery store, and they would have to mentally estimate how much the groceries would cost. And we had a little contest going on. Who would get the closest to the actual, you know, the actual price? So you have to kind of estimate tax in there. So it was a little estimation game, and we just kind of made shopping fun in that way. But they would see the use for math. So I was very purposeful. Even in the car, when you read the odometer reading, and it would have tenths of a mile, and I would make them read. I said, don't tell me .2. That's how you say it. I mean, that's how you write it. Tell me how do you say it. And I would make them say 2/10. Or 6/10, or 105 6/10. So they would start learning just in the car.
And it's fun, and it's a life skill. You know, you're teaching life skills, and like you're saying, you know, making it fun. Well, wow. Well, Pam, thank you so much for joining us and giving, you know, some great information. So for some of the parents, and we have parents that will a variety of different ages that actually listen to this show. I'm very grateful for that. But, you know, we certainly, every time we do a show, we try to make sure that we're giving great information and we're making the world a polite place to live while we're at it. I'm going to read the last email. It says, Etiquette Lady, I really enjoy the topics you cover on your show. Can you give me the info that your guests referred to last week? I'm sorry, let me move into the next one. I read that one, I do believe, already. Thank you for what you do for our families. Are you planning to cover the election on your show? There have been such poor etiquette exchanges between the candidates. This comes from Bill and Conyers. You know, Bill, yes. In fact, we had someone else that asked us that last week. Yes, our show is scheduled. We are going to cover the election. We're going to talk about it on October 30th. That is in 2 weeks. Next week, we'll have a dentist on. I usually like to have a dentist come on and talk about the proper etiquette when going out to trick-or-treat, and then she's going to talk about why you shouldn't let your children eat all that candy, okay? And she's a dentist. But anyway, as we do each week, thank you so much for supporting our show and listening as well. Everyone who makes contact with us, we appreciate that. Those joining us for the first time, as well as our loyal listeners, thank you so much. We appreciate you. We're glad that you're a part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family. Remember, if you have an etiquette question or topic that you'd like to hear us cover in the future, be sure to let us know, and you all are doing that. Thank you so much, and we're certainly going to do what we can to make that particular topic happen for you. And continue, if you would, to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen. And our goal is certainly to make the world a polite place to live. And we know we can only do that one person at a time and with your help. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. And as we remind you each and every week, please make sure you initiate a random act of kindness this week. And you can actually initiate an act of kindness on a daily basis, okay? Thanks again. Thanks, Dr. Pam Data, so much for joining us. And listeners, thank you all as well. Absolutely. It's a pleasure. We certainly do appreciate you. And you guys, we'll talk again next week. Take care. Good night and God bless.
Take care.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we'll discuss another exciting topic.